Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting session in the Alchemy Lab with me, Colm Holland. I'm the author of this book, The Secret of the Alchemist by Colm Holland, available on all good online bookshops, etc. But the reason we're here today is that we're in the Alchemy Lab, a metaphorical virtual lab, with a very, very special guest, the amazing Shelley F. Knight. Hi, Shelley. How are you?
Hello there.
Thank you for joining us today. Your life is a bit of a story. So once upon a time, you were a nurse.
Yes.
Not anymore. But you have moved from nursing to providing what you describe it here as an eclectic blend of clinical, holistic, and spiritual expertise, which is great. And you particularly specialize in positive changes and encouraging people to pursue positive change, particularly around spirituality and grief. And we'll come on to that in a moment. You're also an author. You've written a book called Positive Changes, a self-kick book. Not a self-help book, a self-kick,
nope.
Self-kick book. I'm sure you've got lots of interesting things to say about that. So that's available, again, on all online, good, great online bookstores. Kindle, presumably, as well as paperback here. Yeah, fantastic. And you write for lots of international magazines. So welcome. I'm really looking forward to this session. I'm sure we've got a lot to talk about, lots in common. But let me just kick things off, because on your, actually, I think it's on your podcast site, you say that most of our experiences, and I quote, as human beings are universal. And even though we can feel uniquely pained by them at the time, how we deal with each life experience and choose to move forward is what makes us truly unique. So the experience is universal. How we deal with it is what makes us unique, which is a very interesting proposition. And that the answers to life and happiness are not always out there in the big wide world. Quite often they are simply already within us. The answer is within. And those who have read my book will know that I talk a lot about that. So welcome. Would you like to expand on, I'm really interested in this universality of the problems we face and the uniqueness of how we deal with that.
Yes. So in life, we all go through things, and there's times of darknesses and challenges, and everyone experiences loss. And I think at the time, we feel so isolated that it's only us experiencing this, you know, loss of a loved one, loss of health, confidence, direction. We all have loss, and we think it's just us. And it's a very lonely place to be. However, we all experience it on some level, and I believe that it's how we overcome it, or how we live to tell the story, that makes us unique, not the actual experience itself.
So you must have drawn on not only your own experiences, but as a nurse, you saw a lot of grief, presumably, in all kinds of ways.
Yeah, so I started in acute medicine, and that's very fast paced, like the heart attacks, sudden onsets of illness and things like that. But I went on to work in hematology, oncology, and end of life. And I was a chemotherapy nurse for most of my years. And with cancer, it's a real life-changing event that you're either going to undertake therapies and come through it, or you're going to be terminal and die, depending how your body reacts to treatment and things like that. And it's just working with the dying, or working with those who've had a life-changing diagnosis, that you learn life a little bit differently. What's important in life, you know, the life lessons. And it's from that that I saw people either choose the positive or the negative. There's a real kind of spirit within us where we can choose to go either way. So when we're given like a life-changing diagnosis, such as cancer, some people will sort of be like, oh, my mum died of this, that's my story, that's my destiny. Where others will be like, I want to make it to this day, I will not be beaten by this, I've had a vision that this is my future, and they will go all in with a real feisty spirit. And that's what I'd say, that whilst many of us will have like a loss of health or a diagnosis, how we choose to take it on makes us unique.
So here's the $100 million question then, Shelley. What is it that makes us choose one way or another, the positive or the negative response? Is that what you talk about in your book? Do you know why we do that?
I think so many of us have like a default to negative. Like when we wake up in the morning and we sort of just go like, oh, what's today going to throw at me? I've got to do the food shopping. I don't like school runs. I've got this meeting. We've naturally can be very negative. So in the book, I sort of get you to look at, you know, what's your background? How were you raised? Get you to deal with things from the past, because how we overcome grief, whether it's loss of health or a loved one, you know, whatever we deal with in life is based on our experience today. So, you know, if you've overcome something in the past, you'll apply that to overcoming it now. And so, yeah, there's loads of different ways. It's mindset, setting goals, connection to others, resilience, you know, and I use lots of tools. I believe we have a great power within us, a real strength. And it is sort of like meditation, affirmations, visualization. I'm a realist, so I believe in miracles. So I would just call in anything to help me, you know, consolidate my belief that I can make it.
I love that. We're going to talk about miracles later. Let's put miracles on hold. Why would you call your book a self-kick book rather than a self-help book? What is this kick thing that you're referring to here?
So I used to read loads of self-help books, and I think they're brilliant, but they're very gentle, if you wouldn't mind kind of things. And it's kind of like one way, sort of like, try this will be it. And I don't agree with that at all. And so my self-kick is like, come on, you've got this, let's do this. It's a bit more feisty. It's not a gentle holding your hand. It's giving you the tools to move forward. And there's not one way to move forward, because, you know, we're all different and we're all going to have different losses, experience, you know, like the coping strategies, the mindsets. So it's a real mixture in there. Some of it, you know, goes back to your past, gets you to write a letter to a bully or to your body. Some of it's like humorous. I get you to write your own eulogy at the other end of life. I get you to write action plans, bucket lists. There's loads of things in there. There's not one way. And it's just a self-kick, because, you know, it's not gentle. I'm getting you to write your own eulogy for starters.
Oh, I'm going to write my own eulogy. He was an amazing guy. Yeah. We should have been so much more generous towards him when he was alive.
More book deals. That's what he needed.
Yes. I should have bought more copies of his book, for sure. So self-kick is a bit of a reality check then about the choice that you've got to make at that critical moment in time. That's part of the realization that you do have a choice, that the way that you view and the way you consider your future plays a huge part in the outcome. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because self-help makes it sound like I'm going to help you, and I'd love to, but realistically, we could read all the self-help books in the world, but unless you take action on the words inside that book, you're just reading, you're not applying. That's like anything in life, you know, like I could wish to be a millionaire, but I don't just sit here. I'd have to be proactive, like buy a ticket, you know, write an amazing book. You know, we have to take action to get our dreams to come to reality.
Sure.
We can't just read a book and then go, right, deliver the universe, I'm ready. We have to take action. That's why it's a self-kick. It's like, come on, you need to do something. You've read the words, now do it. So that's the kick. That's the feisty exercise.
Okay. So you'll know, and most of my listeners know, that, you know, when I discovered The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho and was part of the publication of that book, it was actually that very principle that I discovered right at the beginning of the story of Santiago going off, and he had to actually take action. He actually, you know, he was dreaming a lot, and the dream said, your treasure's over there. But he could have spent his whole life doing just that, you know, dreaming. Yeah. And that was, you know, a big challenge at the beginning of that. So let's talk about you, Shelley, personally, just for a moment, if we may. In terms of your personal journey and how you've reached this point of this philosophical point, which has got all these practical tools, which is great, was there a moment in your own life when you had to make these decisions for yourself? Was there a personal moment of transformation in particular, or was it a gradual realization?
There's quite a few moments, but we probably need to have a whole week together. But there's probably a good few moments, and that would be the death of my stepfather, who I absolutely loved to bits. I was working on the ward on New Year's Day, just going around having a lovely old time, as you do, New Year, new start mentality. And I received the call from my mum saying that my stepfather had died suddenly in the early hours of New Year's Day. Wow. And you know, it's all a bit of a blur, but I managed to get back home and things like that. But I guess I'd been putting off for a while that I always wanted to work in haematology and oncology. And I hadn't taken action. I was just thinking one day, get a year here, get a year there. But because I received that call on the ward, it kind of changed me, because I was the nurse that got that call, and that the nurse whose dad died and all that. And it became the push to move me forward. So my stepdad died suddenly. I went to work in oncology and haematology about 3 months after the real painful part of the grief. And it sounds quite strange, if I'm honest, but because my dad died suddenly, when I was working in end of life, there was a chance to see what it was like when you had a chance to say goodbye. What do we regret? What do we say to our loved ones and things like that? And it became part of my healing journey.
Right.
And I absolutely loved it. I just felt so privileged and I loved it. So that was my first turning point. My dad dying, having that self-kick to finally step away from that ward and then stepping into the life lessons, you know, the wisdom from those who are dying. And then that pattern of love and loss continued. And I've had many miscarriages. I mean, people don't think I have fertility problems because I have four children. But sadly, in reality, I've had far more losses than I've had, you know, children. And so with a combination of my stepdad dying and all the miscarriages, life just became more precious. I also started to realize, from my personal opinion, if it doesn't resonate with the listeners, please disregard it. But I believe that there is life after this earthly plane.
Sure.
And like the afterlife. And that brings me great comfort. So when I did return to nursing after my stepdad's death, after miscarriages and things like that, I'd changed inside as a person. I knew I was more than my physical body. I knew I was more than sort of paying the bills. And so it's from that that then the spiritual started to come in. And the greatest turning point would have been my final pregnancy. And I was 40, which was considered old. And I call it my daisy journey. So I was pregnant with, it's thought to be triplets. By the time I realized it was twins, and it was just a horrendous pregnancy, if I'm honest. And then at 20 weeks, the halfway point, we was told to terminate. They said, child's never going to survive beyond 28 weeks of pregnancy, so just terminate. But because I've had so much loss in my life, like my stepdad, my grandparents, my miscarriages, I just couldn't. I was 40. It was my last chance of being a mum. So I embarked on this huge psychological journey, and it was awful because I'm a little tiny size 8 lady, and this bump just seemed huge, and you know, you couldn't avoid it, and it was like a time bomb. I didn't want people to say, how's the bump, when's it due, because we didn't know if she would come. So that was my major point, and that's actually where Positive Changes and Self-Kick book come from. Because I'd had a vision that I had another child to come, and kind of went with it. And when I was pregnant with, she's alive, she's six, she's feisty, she's brilliant. She's my little earth angel. But when I was pregnant with what is now Daisy, again, it comes down to that choice, that mindset, isn't it? When you're going through something. And I thought, I could be miserable and tell my body, oh my God, I'm going to lose you. Or I could just go all in this biggest journey I've ever had to face. And that's what I did. And that's what's in the book about try everything, whatever you believe in, whatever you want to manifest, give it your all, because whatever the outcome is, you know you've tried your hardest, and you can always forgive yourself for that. We don't always forgive ourselves if we don't try those what ifs that bubble up in the middle of the night. So it's my daisy journey that created the book Positive Changes, because I did believe in miracles, manifestation, calling out for help to the universe, archangel, even the dustman. I don't care, anyone that's listening, just help me. And that's how the book came about. I mean, you know, I'll never prove if it was the positive thinking, the, you know, the spirituality.
It's all of those things.
But I just think if I'd have got chosen negative, I just think like attracts like. And I think if I'd have gone for the negative, I probably would have been dealt the negative. But I believed in her. I never told her she was ill. I called in guides, colours, psychic surgeons, the lot. I just like bring it all on, you know. And Yeah, I mean, she's here and she's like an earth angel. And you think, yeah, she was meant to make it. But it is that mindset, overcoming the hardest things in our life to have the most beautiful outcomes.
Fantastic. Well, that's a fabulous story. Thanks for sharing that with us. So you mentioned miracles.
Yeah.
In my book, I talk about magic and I talk about miracles, and I basically equate the two. I don't differentiate with the two. So what qualifies as a miracle in your mind? When you see miracles, you expect miracles. What is that? How can people manifest more miracles in their life from your viewpoint?
I think we are magic. I think we are miracles. The very fact we're here, I think each and every one of us is a miracle, and we need to love ourselves far more than we probably do in this moment. I think the definition of a miracle is something like an extraordinary event which is not proven by science or natural laws. But for me, every day is a miracle. Like every day I look at my daughter, she's a miracle. I manifested her. And to me, miracle is the fact we're alive and breathing, that we have shelter. But I do believe you can make more magic. I think, you know, I've attracted so many amazing things in my life, like my husband, my children, the house, book deals, just amazing people, like working with you. You know, it's just so many beautiful things. I just think when we believe positive, when we speak to the universe, we attract what our soul needs, what we need. I just don't think miracles are that complex. I think if you have that absolute unwavering faith in yourself, your visions, you can attract it.
Yes. You haven't read my book yet, I know, and I apologize for that. And we are going to talk about my book at some point on your podcast. But just to reference that from my viewpoint as well, is that one of the things that makes us as a species unique, actually, is that we have this ability. Lots of bits of the universe have the same ability, but of all the bits of the universe that seem to be able to bring together all of the other bits, that's what we do. That's what we're capable of achieving. So yes, there's power in this part of the universe. There's power in that aspect. There is power in the earth itself. There's power in the moon, if you want. There's all of that. But as individuals, we are magicians. We are miracle workers. We are alchemists, which is, you know, how I identify myself. We are able to turn what seems to be something super ordinary into the extraordinary. We are able to turn the mundane into the special. We're able to turn lead into gold, and that's the whole concept of alchemy. And you're an alchemist in my book. No question. Anybody who's just manifested what you have with your daughter there, that is exactly it. That's absolutely what I'm talking about as well. So we are in an alchemy lab. Let's not forget that. I've got a potion over here. Look, here it is.
Oh, lovely.
Well, the base material is cranberry juice, I hasten to add. Nothing. There's not bat's blood or anything nasty like that.
Oh, no, ruining the magic.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm not dead going for that stuff. If I can't drink it, I'm not interested. Because I've read a bit about you and what you believe and so on, I'm going to call this the ultimate potion.
I love that.
Yeah. So in the ultimate potion, this is the tough question. What would you like the ultimate potion to be able to deliver to anyone who drinks it? If there is something in life that for you is the ultimate secret, what would that be that I can put in my mix here?
So I'd like the potion to give everyone absolutely unwavering belief in themselves. I think we're such nervous little beings at times. We always think like, why me? Why should I? Am I worthy? But I just want everyone to believe, because as we say, you know, when you believe, you achieve. If you see it, you can have it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'd love the potion to just bring you all your wildest dreams and wishes to fruition.
Okay, I'm up for that. All right, let's put that in. There we go, it's in. Let's give it a bit of a stir. Is there anything else before we, you know, I'm going to drink this in a moment, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we need some key ingredients, don't we, really?
Yeah, come on, let's do it.
Right. I think I'd throw in a pair of boots. So that, we have a little pair of boots and you could use those for self-kick. Yeah, for
a bit
of self-kick. So we have a little pair of boots or maybe little ballerina shoes if you're feeling fragile when you listen to the podcast. And we could use those for the little self-kick, but also just to take tiny steps. Okay. I don't want people to make big changes because they just get overwhelmed. So just tiny little steps. So we'll have some, a pair of shoes or boots, depends how feisty you're feeling. We'll have some of those. I think we need a large cup of self-love. Sure. I think the relationship we have with ourself is the most important one. And it is hard to say that because obviously I'm a mum of four little miracles. But, you know, my relationship with myself will be the longest I have whilst I'm here, you know, from my first breath to my last. So I think we need a big cup of self-love. You've got to speak to yourself kindly so you attract the kind of relationships you feel worthy of.
Sure.
I'm quite feisty, as anyone would know that's read the book. So I think we'll have a little spoonful of truth serum. One of the life lessons from the dying was always like, speak your truth.
Right.
And I love that. Hmm. And they used to say, it doesn't mean like what you're saying is the truth, but it's how you feel, it's what's true to you. And I don't want to get too controversial, but I've like nursed people with breast cancer and throat cancer. And when I was like administering the chemotherapy, they used to say things like, you know, they just sit there like, be like a therapist really. And they say, oh, I'm glad I finally got that off my chest, or I've never let those words out.
Wow.
And people just like, you know, suppress their emotions and their words, you know, so not to upset someone. But, you know, your words are valid. So I'm going to have a little spoonful of truth serum to try and get those words out. Speak your truth.
Wow.
I think it's really important. I think we'll have a little sprinkling of wisdom. That'd be nice because, you know, we go through life and I don't think there is good and bad. I think everything's just experience. And whilst it is really painful, like when my stepdad died, I mean, we're like 15 years on and I still miss him. I still have moments with him. I'm going to phone him. He'll think this is hilarious. And you're like, you're going to use one special phone for phoning him. But I think if we look at the experiences rather than label them as good and bad, there'll be a lesson in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want us to use that, you know, that wisdom that we've got to help us. I think there's a chapter in my book and it's called From Mess to Message. And it is taking like the messy times and sharing how you've overcome it or just getting again, you know, that speak your truth. So yeah, a little sprinkle of wisdom, whatever you've been through, use it, the lessons, the experience, the wisdom, the growth, the dark, the light, use that wisdom. And then my newsletter, I always sign it off with a dollop of positivity. And my son says, Mom, you have to stop using the word dollop because he thinks it's dog poop, which I don't know if that's a true story or not. But he says, can you stop putting dollop on all of your social media? But I think everyone needs a dollop of positivity, you know, that we have choices in life. And I always think we should try positive. Do you mean you can choose negative, but
yes,
at the end of the day, whether you choose positive or negative, it still takes the same amount of time and energy. So you might as well go for the, you know, the lighter option.
Well, that's where we started this whole conversation on that very topic. So,
yeah.
Okay, that's all gone in. Let's give it a bit of a stir. Was there anything else before we... are you happy with that? We got the ultimate
version? No, I think that's good. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll definitely be drinking that after this episode and I'll send you a message and let you know how it's gone. But
yeah, do.
I'm seriously looking forward to moving forward with that. How are you coping with COVID times and how are you finding you're able to support other people getting through this particular time that we're in?
So I've absolutely loved lockdown. I sort of hesitate as I say it because I know it's a real negative thing, but I absolutely loved lockdown. I was just in my little world with my little world, you know, I was here with my husband, our four children, our loopy dog, and it was such a unique time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I write, I podcast, my husband runs a business, and we had 6 months together. And I just loved it. I mean, I love weekends. So it's just like all of that together. I was really blessed that we took it in turns to homeschool. So he would do 3 hours in the morning. I'd do three in the afternoon. So my second book was finished like 18 months early, which it's amazing. But I've loved it. I mean, the kids are closer together because it's a bit disjointed, you know, because they've got homework and all the practicalities.
Yeah.
But I absolutely loved it. But with that, I was writing for like funeral director magazines and spiritual magazines and other places about the sheer amount of grief that was around. It was, sure. You know, whilst I loved it and it was really productive for me, the amount of grief around, and it was like grief from, you know, loss of health if you had COVID, grief from loved ones becoming unwell and dying, another grief because you couldn't be with them due to infection, mm-hmm. loss of normalcy, you know, your income, your connection to others, you know, there was so much grief. And I think the impact we're going to see for years and years to come with like mental health, unresolved grief, you know, people searching for answers, I think it's going to be huge. So I know there's many negative sides. I run a death cafe and we had to go virtual. We couldn't meet in person, but I've still been running those meetings because I think the isolation from COVID is vast.
Yes.
I mean, like, I've not seen my parents, and you used to joke about seeing your parents. Oh God, we're busy that weekend. But, you know, in reality, I've not seen my parents since Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm blessed that I have my family around. We've got a large family, but I think it's just, you know, it's so multifaceted. It's been a real complex time for mental health, connection, you know, and people have lost jobs and finances. And for many, it's been positive because they've been in jobs they hated and it's, you know, they've started their own courses and things like that. But I think it's been a real challenging time.
Yes. And your book, Positive Changes, a Self-Kick book, definitely, from what you're saying, will address many of the needs that people coming out of this time will need to move forward and to turn what has potentially been a negative grief experience into something positive. So we must remember your book, come back to it when this is over. You've got a new book coming, you say. Are you able to tease us with what the new book's going to be about, and when are we going to expect it?
Yeah, so it all happened, another word I love, like alchemy and magic, another word is synchronicity. So I had the most amazing synchronicity in 2019, and I was speaking about like leaving nursing to my life coach that I had at the time, and she's going like, why did you go into nursing, how did you become so spiritual? And I was just telling her, and she was like, Shelley, you need to write a second book. So yeah, so it's got a very long title, but it's called Good Grief, The A to Z Approach of Modern Day Grief Healing. And it's out with OBooks in 2021.
Great.
And it's almost as controversial as the first book, but it's draws on 30 years in healthcare. So it's sort of when I did nursery nursing, general practice, end of life, nursing, pharmaceuticals, all the things I did, 30 years in healthcare, observing grief, where grief comes from, how we react to it. Because I used to see people's loved ones dying, but then their way of life died and they become stuck. Like their life as they knew it ended and they couldn't move forward.
Right.
So I've collated 30 years of grief, because it used to be quite simple. You'd either have like, you know, normal grief, absent grief, or delayed grief. So you'd either be crying, not crying, or you would in the future. Mm-hmm. It's like 18 different types of grief, and probably more from COVID if we're honest. Mm-hmm. So I take you for a journey through life, sort of like, you know, when we're born, the stages of life, then it's sort of like the life lessons of the dying. I talk about mini death, so it means like grief where no one's died but a way of life has died. So like, as we've seen with COVID, so we've lost jobs, finances, security, relationships, you know, that's, I call that mini death. And it goes through like 30 years of observing clinical death, but also spiritual death, when we lose our way. So it's all pulled together. And the old nurse in me would say, like, talking therapies is the way forward. And as we've probably already told from the podcast, I love to talk. But not everyone does. And so I look at, well, it's kind of like looking at modern tools, but they're not. They're all ancient things, sort of like, you know, the sacred oils and body work and body therapy. Because I truly believe, because I'm a clinical hypnotherapist as well, and I truly believe that when we go through something traumatic in life, we create a body memory as well as like an emotional memory. So yeah, in the grief book, it's 30 years of being a sensible clinical nurse, but then also, you know, again, like we're saying today, we have this power within us, and that's what makes us unique. So it's giving you back your power to overcome your grief. It's not giving your power away to talk to someone else or say, what do you think? What should I do?
Yeah.
It's, you know, reminding you that you have the power within you, the magic within you. And it's a book that's really practical. I say it's the A to Z. So I've just done it from like acupressure in A through to Z for sleeping better. And it's all in there, but it's given you the power to change your life. It's that self-kick again, like don't give your power away. And just because someone's died, people say like, you know, he was my other half, but you are whole. You were whole before you met them. You'll be whole again. Sure. And it's just a real, not quite as feisty as Positive Change is the first book, but it is encouraging people to create the smallest positive change. You've got this kind of mentality.
Amazing. Can't wait. And we're definitely going to have you back to talk about that. Yeah, absolutely. This has been phenomenal. And for those listeners that are in the US and other parts of the world, Shelley is based in the UK. You can probably tell from her accent anyway. And if they want to find you, where are the best places to find you if people want to reach out? Obviously buy your book on Amazon. That sounds like a really good idea.
Start there, then I'll tell them.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm on Facebook. I'm Shelley F. Knight. Life Goes on Facebook. Okay. I'm on Instagram and YouTube are the main ones. And then I have the podcast, Positive Changes, a Self-Kick podcast.
Fantastic. Shelley, thank you so much for sharing with us. Is there a little ditty, a little wise saying that you'd like to send us off with to close out this podcast today?
It's probably just the words from, I think it's one of the first chapters, called Good Choice. And that's what we've been saying today, really, that every morning when you wake up, you have two choices, be positive or be negative. Your life is going to pass you by anyway, whether you spend it creating a life you absolutely love or gloomily living one you hate. The choice and the time is yours.
Okay, so as we go to bed tonight, we'll remember that. Let's put that to memory when we wake up in the morning. And thank you for being such an amazing miracle worker, Shelley.
Oh, bless you.
In your personal life, in your family life, but also in the universe around. Thank you for sharing yourself, making yourself vulnerable, sharing your power with us so that we can be enriched by that as well. That's a great, great gift that you give us. So thank you. Thank you, Shelley. And thank you for joining me today. And thanks everybody for listening and for watching. And we'll see you again on the next episode of The Alchemy Lab. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.